We are looking in the third chapter of Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry for reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this thing shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent you me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of the Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come thou and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Well, Moses then begins to question God, and says, he says, in the next verse, he says, Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee, and so on. And we see how that God shows him what he needs to do to show that he has actually had a visitation from God with the serpent and so on. But the point that I wanted to make this morning is that here Moses is in the backside of the desert, and the angel of the Lord appears unto him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of a bush. And this was Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate in Jesus Christ. And Moses has a visit directly from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He has a personal visitation from Christ himself. And he introduces himself to Moses as, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, today we're living in a time when people have no fear of God before their eyes. They're not afraid. They do not have an awesome respect for God and for His Word. They change His Word. They alter His Word. They take away from His Word. They add to His Word. But here we see that God has come to Moses because He's seen the affliction of His people. And He's come to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And He says He's heard the cry of Israel. And He's seen their oppression. And He has come to bring about their deliverance. And He tells Moses that, "I'm going to use you as a vehicle to bring about the deliverance of my people." And Moses begins to question God and says, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I?" Have we ever had that experience in our life when God has shown us that we should do something, when we should maybe take a stand for against evil, when we should do something to edify the body of Christ? Have we ever asked ourselves the question, "Who am I that I should do this? There's plenty of other people that can do a much better job than I can do in this." But Jesus Christ answered him and said, "I will be with thee. I will be with thee." And so the message that we need to gain from this reading this morning is that God will not fail. If He shows Himself to us, if He asks us to do something, He will stand by us, and we will be victorious in what He has set us forth to do. He says, "I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt and to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites," and so on. "And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come out, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto them, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And He even said, look, they're not going to let you go. They're not going to let you go to start with. But He says, I will smite them with all my wonders. And then, once I've shown them my wonders and my plagues, then they'll let you go." We need to remind ourselves of that sometimes when things don't happen right off, when we do what God asks us to do and it seems like nothing's transpiring because of it. God is working. God is working. God is showing His, doing His wonders. God is working maybe behind the scenes, but He's working because His name is can be trusted. And He says, "I will give this people favor in the sight of Egypt, the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that ye shall not go away empty." Every time God shows His favor, His unmerited favor, you can be sure that there is going to be resulting a blessing from the favor that God shows his people. We look in the sixth chapter of Genesis. We find Noah found favor. The eighth verse, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many times have I heard messages on Noah that the reason that Noah was chosen to build the ark was because he was such a righteous man. God rewarded his righteousness. No. The reason that Noah was chosen by God to build the ark is because he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Noah was born and conceived in sin just like everybody else. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. His heart was turned from wickedness. He was reborn by the Spirit of God. And we have seen many, many times where God shows his favor to his people. He showed his favor to Joseph. He showed his favor to all the way through the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints found favor. Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and Moses and Enoch and Elijah and the prophets. And all of those Old Testament saints found the favor of God. They found that he showed them his unmerited favor. He showed them his grace, the amazing grace of God. And the Old Testament saints were Christians. Okay? Judaism tries to say that those Old Testament saints would still be looking for the Messiah if they were living today. No. Those Old Testament saints had already found the Messiah, had found Jesus Christ, and God had shown them his Son, the Messiah, before he had come. They recognized Jesus Christ before he had come. And so the Old Testament saints were Christians, just like the New Testament saints believe upon Christ and his completed work. The Old Testament saints believed upon the Messiah and that he would complete the work that he would do when he would come. Well, we know that Moses eventually led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and we know what happened, that the Red Sea was opened up and swallowed up all of the Egyptians. And we know that this favor that was shown to Noah resulted in the saving of 8 souls by water. And we know that God sought and was found by the Gentiles. You know, he says, my light shall go to the Gentiles. Isaiah predicted that when Christ would come, that he would be a light unto the Gentiles, not just the Jews. This righteous branch that would come out of the seed of David. And favor was shown to Mary. You know, she had quite a message when she realized what had happened to her. When she was told that she would give birth to the Son of God. And she said that your handmaiden has found favor in your sight. She knew that this was a great and mighty thing that God had done for her. And she said, I rejoice in God my Savior. Mary was not chosen to bear Jesus Christ because of her, like the Catholic Church teaches, because of her sinlessness. Mary was a sinner just like all of us. We were all born and conceived in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Mary realized that she had found favor with God. She realized that God had shown her favor. And so if we look in the first chapter of Luke, the 46th verse says, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." So she knew that she was blessed, and she knew that she had found the favor, that God has shown her favor. And she says, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." What a message by Mary there of the magnificence of the favor that was shown to her by God. Stephen talks about the favor of God and the fact that God has shown his people favor for years and years. We know that as we look back in history, we see all these events unfolding. The greatest event in history, though, is the greatest story ever told. It's not just a novel. The story is true. How God sent his Son to die to redeem a chosen few. You know, it's amazing because Stephen, before he was stoned, or while he was being stoned, he was talking about how the Old Testament saints believed in Jesus Christ, how they believed in this coming Messiah that would come and would redeem them from their sins. And he says, he talks about Moses. He talks about this time that Moses saw the flaming bush after him in the 7th chapter of Acts, the 30th verse. "And when 40 years were expired, they appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As it drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled." And he talks about that passage we just read there in Genesis a little bit ago. And he talks about how he brought them out, showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, the Red Sea, and the wilderness 40 years. And he says, "This is that Moses," speaking of Christ, "this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount of Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give him up." And so he says, you know, this was Christ that was speaking to Moses. This is the same one that you have killed. This is the same one. And 46 it says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, to whom God drave out before the face of our fathers in the days of David, who found favor before God. David found favor before God. David was a man after God's own heart only because God showed him his amazing grace. And he says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophets. And he's telling these people here, before they stoned him, that they had betrayed the just one. They had betrayed Jesus Christ. They had killed him. And they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the fact that they had killed. And so they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Well, the favor of the Lord is upon His people. It's not anything that we've done to merit His favor, starting with all of those that He's shown favor down through the eons of history, down through the times He's always had His remnant that He's shown grace to. And He's protected us. He's delivered us from the enemies of sin and Satan. And He's given unto us eternal life, that we would forever praise His name. He's delivered us from the power of Satan. And He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Father, we thank You for the favor that You've shown, for Your unmerited favor, for Your grace, for Your redemption in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the history of the Old Testament that shows that You've always had a people that You've shown Your favor to, that You've chosen to be gracious to and merciful to, and to forgive their transgressions. We're thankful that You have not imputed our sins unto us, but You've laid them upon Your Son. Pray that You would help us to continue in Your word and exalt Your Son. For Your glory alone, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen.